Father, we thank you for your presence that is in this place. We don't take it for granted. Thank you because it pleases you to visit under the covering of our fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus. And so, Lord, we welcome you with hearts open and hands lifted up. And we come to ask you for fresh mercy. I pray for myself for fresh mercy and unction from your throne upon me, so that I will preach, teach, and minister this word as an oracle of God. Let the word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it bring life. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring understanding and insight. Let it cause, Lord, yokes to be broken, veils to be torn and removed, so that, Lord, an internal, eternal work will be established in our hearts today, making us more humble and causing our eyes to be further illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because, Lord, under the covering of our fathers, we pray that everywhere this word of God goes, let it bring deliverance. Lord, let it bring, Lord, a setting free. Let it bring strength to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us to be doers of all the things that we hear and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask for mercy and you will help me to be concise, to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a privilege for us to gather in God's presence. Amen. We don't take it for granted. Amen. There are some places where some people cannot do that. Amen. And it's really a privilege for me to be bringing the word this afternoon. I'd like to give honor. It's really an honor for me to honor my parents, Pastor and Mommy, for their example. It's an impeccable example, as they have said, for their prayers, for their encouragement, their admonition, that is enabling us to follow after them. And I pray that this word will bring them refreshing. It will also bring you, my brethren, refreshing and encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled it, Pressing Forward. Pressing Forward. Amen. And in this season of the manifestation of God's glory, I don't know whether you've been hearing the same messages I've been hearing. Amen. The purpose of groaning. You know, more than conquerors. You know, so many messages that when you hear the clarity and the depth of these messages, one thing is abundantly clear, that we need to press into it. The Bible says the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. And that's where I got this title from, Pressing Forward. Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 16. Verse 15 and 16. Thank you. Luke chapter 16, 15 and 16. You are with me today. Amen. You're very quiet. You must not be quiet in Jesus' name. All right. We're preaching it together. So we can. So it's like God is taking us in our minds on a journey. Okay. And He wants to deposit us in a place of better understanding and better clarity and more encouragement, so we can stand in our place. Amen. And he said unto them, ye are they, talking to the Pharisees, which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now, brethren, this is the pitfall we must not fall into. And the Pharisees thought they were above this. That's why they fell into it. They thought they were above it. They thought it couldn't happen to them. And so we must not make that same mistake. You know, don't let your justification come from men. Don't let it be from the way others consider you. Let it be from what God is saying about you, because it's not what men say, it's what God is saying. And what God is saying is governed by what He knows is in your heart. What He knows is in my heart. Next verse. Verse 16. The law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. The kingdom of God is such that you can't hear it and assume that you are in it. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. You know, and the violent take it by force. The Bible talks, the Amplified talks about most earnest zeal and intense exertion. It's talking about groaning. Okay? You cannot enter the kingdom without groaning. But beyond that, there's an attitude to press into the kingdom. You don't wait for the kingdom to come to you. Once it comes to you, you press into it. Amen. And that is the essence of what we're learning today. You know, the Pharisees rejected the message of John. Because the kingdom initially came through John. Amen. In Luke 7, chapter 7, verse 29 and 30, you know, Luke 7, 29 and 30, you see that, okay. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Because he had just told them who John was in the spirit. So those who had accepted John's baptism were very happy. Great, praise God. Ah, thank God I didn't. Brethren, you don't know who our parents are in the spirit. And it's a great privilege to be under their ministry. It is a great privilege to be under their ministry. And very soon it's going to appear the profiting who they are in the body of Christ and our profiting in being under their ministry. That's what's happening there. They were just, the publicans justified God and said, thank God. Verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers did what? Rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So this picking and choosing what you believe, choosing what is convenient, leaving what is not inconvenient, or what is not convenient, this is the error of the Pharisees. And you know, once they refused or rejected the message of John the Baptist, they only set themselves to reject the message of Christ. It is important to note that the Pharisees knew the word. They were very zealous. They knew the word. They had revelation. They knew about the resurrection. So when Paul was talking about the Sadducees and all that, the Pharisees rose up and said, no, this man is a good man. He believes the whole counsel of, no, you can't do that to him. And they stood for Paul. Meaning that they had more knowledge. They knew the word inside out by the grace and mercy of God. Okay? They were very zealous and they were waiting for the Messiah. They were actually seeking the Messiah. You know, but because of this, their reputation with men and their contentment with where they were, when they heard something new, when they heard this message, you will go to verse 29. When they heard this message, they laughed at it. Look, give me verse 28. Jesus was talking about the fact. Okay, no. Okay, give me Luke chapter 16, verse 8. No, verse 14. Give me verse 14. You see, Luke chapter 16, verse 14. Yes. No, the previous verse. He was talking here about the fact that you cannot serve God and mammon. That's what he was talking about. Okay? He was talking about that if you are serving mammon, you are covetous. And the Pharisees, give me the previous verse, verse 13. So you can understand. It says, no servant can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. They heard it. Next verse, verse 14. You can see we've already read it. They heard all these things. And they derided him. And that's what he talking about. We are above all that. We are above all that. No. Brethren, it's very important to understand that God has magnified his word even above his name. And so all of us must be subject to that word. You cannot be above the word of God. Because God himself subjected himself to the word of God. Amen. And so we must always have a culture of submitting ourselves. Because of this, their hearts were not prepared. So on the inside, they were an abomination to God. Even though among men, they had a lot of respect. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. As we wait for the glory ourselves, you know, we will not miss it in Jesus' name. But we must learn from this mistake. And you know, copy the right example. So that when the word of God comes, every time we hear the word of God, every single message we hear, brethren, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday, you know, it is supposed to take us deeper into the kingdom. We're supposed to press into the kingdom.
you know, there is no message that is like a repetition of that other one. No. That's a mistake, brethren. There is a slant. There is a tint. There is an understanding. There is an insight that each message is supposed to deliver. Amen. Now, sometimes God has mercy on us and He goes over the class again in another message. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that we cannot afford to miss church. Amen. We cannot afford to miss listening to the word. We can't afford to miss praying on Good Morning Jesus prayers every day. You can, because each day is moving us upward. There is a new mercy for a new day. And you cannot use the old mercy to do new things. Amen. That's the will of God. So, what are we saying? We're saying our focus and our emphasis must be on spiritual growth. Just like it was for the Lord Jesus Christ in his silent years. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verse 52 that an increase, let's look at it, an increase, let's read together. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, this is the way God read it to me. And Jesus increased in wisdom with God and man. And in stature with God and man. And in favor with God and man. Everything is in relation with God first. Then it begins to have impact on man. It is not in relation with man. So even as we follow our fathers, we are also looking unto God. Just like they are enjoining us to look unto God and unto Abraham and Sarah. We're looking at both. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's important that in our hearts, we are looking on God because it's in the eyes of God. So when you do things that Pastor Mommy may not know about, for example, when they don't come or when they're not around, some of us, we come to church in Jesus' name. I'm saying it positively. Amen. Some of us come to church. But you know, you know why? It's because of this God and man thing. It's because of this God and man thing. We think that we're doing it for a man, but in actual fact, we're doing it for God. And if your reason is not good enough for God, even though you have taken the liberty of not coming, which God did not give you, then you are putting yourself in a situation that is not the best. Let's just put it that way. It's not the best. We don't want to say any negative thing. We're not going to. All right? But the truth of the matter is that we shouldn't take these chances. This is what God is saying. He's saying that, you know, Jesus didn't miss going to the synagogue on Sunday. Even though he was a carpenter. Even though he had work that he was doing and he had submitted to his father while his father was alive and he had to meet others, but the going to the synagogue was a priority because there was a place he was going. So every time he heard, he pressed into it. Every time he heard, he pressed. The same way he did it is the same way we're going to do it. Amen? And you know, this pattern we see also with Abraham. When Abraham was a young Christian, so to speak, we know that the most important thing to him was having a son. And he kept going on about it to God, you know, and when God said, yes, you're going to have a son, Abraham was very happy. And then when he didn't hear anything from God, he thought that maybe he should speed it up. We know the stories. I'm not going to go. But the key is that a time came in Abraham's life, in Genesis 22, in verse 2, when God said, the most important thing that is that you love, give it up. Now, I know there's this preaching, giving up your Isaac, giving up your Isaac. You know, people say, give up your Isaac, give up your car. You know, what your Isaac can be anything. Do you understand what I mean? But the key is the principle here I want you to see. Look at Genesis 22, verse 2. Because people can use it to fleece the people. That's not the will of God. It says, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. As if he didn't know, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. He didn't even have a fixed destination. Just said, go in that direction, and I'll let you know which one I want. And God asked for his most important thing. But you know what this story proves is that Isaac was no longer what was most important to Abraham. God was what's most important to Abraham. Because Abraham was able to give up the Isaac. He set out. I know. So Abraham didn't think that he had arrived after receiving Isaac. This is the key. When you receive the glory, have you arrived? This is the key. The idea is that you keep seeking spiritual growth. before the glory, when we have the glory, until we close the age. That's the will of God for us. We keep growing. Even though, you know, you went to the market the other day, you know, and people were touching you with handkerchief. Say amen. And they were getting healed. Doesn't mean that your prayer life should now stop. Do you understand? We need to be pressing into the kingdom and keep pressing into it, because there are levels of reward. There are things unfolding, and just when, if you think that I've gotten to the maximum, God forbid that there's more behind what you thought you had. We will not regret in Jesus' name. Amen. But this is what, you know, so we see, and in Genesis 16, 17, Genesis 22, verse 16 and 17, the same Genesis 22, verse 17, God now showed Abraham that there was even more beyond the Isaac. Abraham thought Isaac was the creme de la creme. It was the end of everything. That if I have this one, I'm done. I'm settled. I'm okay. God said, you have not arrived. Look at, there's a, say, by myself have I sworn that because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Brethren, what are we holding on to? That is not allowing us to go deeper. Not allowing us to press in. We need to let it go. Abraham is an example that it is profitable. When you let go, you let God give you what he has in store. Because God is not a taker. God is a giver. So if he's asking for something, it's only because he wants to give you something better or more complete or more excellent than what you already have. Yes, you know, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Follow me. That he may have all things richly to enjoy. That's the full story. When you read that part in Luke chapter 9 verse 23, you think that maybe that's all. That's not all. That you may spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Job 36:11. That you may have all things richly to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. That's the full picture. He is asking for something so that he can give you something far better. If he doesn't change your character, you can't carry the glory. So you have to deny yourself. So anything he's asking you to give up, or God is asking us to give up, it is to give us more than we ever thought, hoped, dreamed, or imagined. And we're going to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see, verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And as the sand that is rich upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. You see fruitfulness, you see dominion, you see blessing. All he had was a son. Blessing. But with the son, when he gave it up, God gave him eternal fruitfulness. That's where you and I come in. We are plugged into Abraham, so we are plugged into fruitfulness through Christ. We have been ordained to bear fruit. Fruitfulness is now our spiritual DNA. It came from here. Do you understand? So you can imagine, he thought he was having only one son, but he was becoming the father of faith. It was way beyond Abraham's. How would God explain that to Abraham? He could never understand. So God started with the son. Brethren, whatever God is asking us to do, the glory, as we are waiting and we are positioning ourselves for the glory, we can't see behind what God has prepared for them that love him. It does not yet appear, but it's going to appear. When he appears, then we will now know who you really are. Amen. And that's the will of God for us in Jesus' name. Alright. So we see that. The same thing with Isaac in Genesis 26, 12 and 13. You know, Isaac had reaped 100-fold with blessing in Genesis 26, verse 12. Alright. That Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year what? 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Chicken, huh? Finish. We'd have thought that that's enough. Look at the next verse. And the man waxed great and did what? Went forward and did what? Grew. So there is room for more. even after the hundredfold. Even after the spirit without measure, there is room for more. Until we get to the throne, to sit with him on the throne. Revelation 3 is not about nothing, no complacency can be allowed. No assumptions can be made. We keep pressing into the kingdom. That's the essence of this message. Amen. So pressing toward the mark of Christ's character by forgetting what lies behind is the aim of our Christianity. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Give it to me, please, in the Amplified. Thank you. This was paramount to God right now, because it's not where you are, it's how fast we're moving forward. That is what determines where the destination that we get. So long as the direction is correct, we're going to the fullness of Christ. The next thing is, how fast are you moving forward? You know, distance, time, speed. That's basic. You know what? If we know where we are going, we know the destination, and we know where we're going to get. The next thing is, how fast are you moving forward? This is the key. Look at Philippians chapter 3, Amplified. Right, verse 13 says, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured. This must become a mentality by the mercy and the grace of God. This is a mentality, it's an attitude of heart. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. So when Pastor's talking about groaning, no, your groaning technique is fine. You groan, praise God. All right, so that's not the problem. So when they're talking about people, that's not you. But that doesn't mean that you should now relax. When he's talking about the word, you know, when he's talking about reading the word, maybe that's not you. But when he's talking about study, where are you? Do you understand what I mean? When he talks about these prayers, you should be praying them daily, where are you? When he says this one, you should be praying it at least weekly, where are you? On Tuesday, when he's talking, I'm saying the whole night we prepared, you know, God has prepared the atmosphere, take advantage of these things, where are you? No, I'm not saying that you don't take advantage of it. I'm just saying that we should take advantage of it. More and more. More earnestly. No assumptions. You forget the things that are behind. That's what he's saying. I don't consider that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. This is deliberate. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So there's a strain. There's you go out of your way to get it. Next verse. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Next verse. So there's a supreme prize, right? Let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude, but God will also make that clear to you. Give this verse to me in the Message Bible. Right. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. How many people want everything God has for them? Well, then we need to have this. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blood vision in Jesus' name. You will see it, yes. That's what he's saying. That there's more and more. Amen? And God will give it to us in Jesus' name. All right, so we see that this is, it's a mindset to press and push, and we must acquire it now. It will usher in the glory. So how do we press into the kingdom? Well, we do it, the same way, Joshua stood at the threshold of the promised land when Moses died. You know, God gave him a charge, you know, and told him the same way, the same thing applies to us now as we stand at the threshold of the glory. We are in the promised land already, you know, but the glory is about to come and we have to wait with expectation. You know, it's instructive to learn, and that's why I believe God put it in the scripture. It's instructive to learn that these things we're about to read, Joshua knew them, but he didn't do them as well as he ought to have. So they didn't conquer all the land. So the fact that you know something is not the doing of it.
Papa preached that.
Knowledge of something is not the possession of it. He drummed that into, you can still come up with it. No, the knowledge of something, not the possession of it. So, it's not enough to know, it's enough to do. Let's look at it. Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Are we gaining something out of this? Amen? All right. Amen. Right, so verse 6 says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So, there are two things. What are the two things? What's the first one? Strong. And what's the second one? Good courage. Those two things. So he's told them that you need those two things to be able to fulfill this. Then he goes to the next verse to explain what he must be strong about. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So we see that the strength and the courage was supposed to help him observe to do, to keep the law and to do it. The keeping is not the doing. The keeping is keeping it in your heart and in your mouth. Amen. Believing in your heart, like Pastor was teaching us on Sunday, confessing with your mouth. So you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, and then you move forward. You confess with your heart, you believe in your mouth, you move forward. Do you understand? That's what he was saying to him. And you need to do it with strength and courage. Amen. So that when you do it, then you begin to prosper everywhere you go. You begin to be fruitful. You begin to multiply. All right? So next verse, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, as what he's saying now, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's the thinking part, that thou mayest observe to do. So in order to observe to do, you must be strong in speaking or praying and confessing. You must be strong in meditating, in keeping our mind believing, in keeping our thoughts in line with the will of God. That part is extremely important, because it is what determines how much you do according to all that is written therein. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, thou shalt have good success. So we see that we need strength and courage. And there are two areas where we need it. Number one, we need it in our attitude. And number two, we need it in our obedience. We need strength and courage to maintain the right attitude. We need strength and courage to be obedient. Amen. I know God gave me a beautiful understanding of this. You know, the Lord Jesus said, and I want to go there first, Luke chapter 20, I beg your pardon, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Let's look at it. All right. Matthew 11. Okay, well, he's looking for Matthew. All right, but we know that Jesus Christ said that, oh, come to me all you that, come to me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest is the destination. Rest is God's going to give us rest in Jesus' name. Rest inside, rest outside. Amen. And he's not going to give, he's already giving. It's present tense, present continuous. He's already giving. And he's showing me how we can tap into it. Next verse. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of it, the yoke of eternal life. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and shall find what? Rest unto your soul. So the rest he's talking about is something that we can find depending on our meekness and lowliness in heart. Amen. So the rest really is available. The question is, how much of the meekness and the lowliness do we have? This is why we have to keep working on our attitude. Even if you look back and see how much progress you've made, we must keep working on our attitude. Because your attitude is, that's the place where you receive the rest. Then you birth rest. You birth it outwards. You birth it into your flesh. You birth it into your soul. But you can't birth what you don't receive. Have we seen anybody give birth and is not pregnant? We call it, it's a kind of delusion.
It's a kind of sickness, mental issues. No, when a person wants to deliver a baby and there's no baby there. So what he's saying is that the meekness, which is the sincerity, the openness, the teachability, and the humility, the acting. The pastor was talking about decision of heart. You know, you hear and you decide on. You hear and you decide on. You know, so your willingness to even hear is the open, that's the meekness. Your act, your latching your will onto it, that's the humility. And then you work it out. So the attitude, and you know, brethren, you know what God showed me? You know, the river of God is always flowing. Look at Psalm 65. This is a scripture that mommy preached last year, you know, beautifully. Psalm 65, verse 9 and 10. There is a river that is coming from God and is coming into everybody's life. Well, it's supposed to be coming into everybody's life. All right? But the degree to which we're meek and lowly is the degree to which we allow the river to flow into our own life. So you have the key to the gate of your life. If the river comes to your gate, you can open your gate and let the river come in, or you can shut your gate. Because you have control over your gate. Amen? Alright. Says, so let's read it together. Psalm verse 9. For thou visitest the earth. Talking about you and I. Alright? So it's talking about the physical earth. It's also talking about you and I. And does what? Waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with what? The river of God. There's a river flowing from God through Christ, through covering, to you and I. And the degree of the flow is governed by our attitude, your meekness and your lowliness of heart. Okay? And it says, which is full of water, life. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. So that river is coming, allows your ground to be, the ground of our hearts to be irrigated. Amen. The ground is irrigated. The ground is softened. Okay? So God can... Look at the next verse. Verse 10. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. You know, the prophet, I think is in Ezekiel, was talking about the children of Israel, and he says, I will take away the stony heart. Yeah, I will take away the stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is soft and malleable, a heart that has been touched with the river of God. So the key here is to position ourselves so that the river is flowing and is bringing life. It is, you know, even though God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, God intended to supply the strength and the courage he needed. There is nothing you and I are going to need. God is going to have, is ready to supply more than enough. The key is, are you open to receive? The key, what God is saying, be more open and yet more open. Work on the attitude. Work on the obedience. Be more open. Amen. Because as the more open you are, the more it flows. The more strength you find. The strength is in His presence. Look at Psalm 16 verse 11. There's a scripture that is popular to us in this house. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. At thy right hand there are pleasures. You know, it tells you that in that place, where God is, that's where life is. Where God is, that's where pleasure is. Where God is, where God's presence is. So the river carries us into God's presence. That's what the river does. It carries us into God's presence. And in that presence, that's where you're strong. That's where you're secure. You are unstoppable in that place. And so every day, the will of God is for us to yield to the river. And allow it to carry us and deposit us in God's presence. And stay in that presence all day long. And operate from that presence.
and then that position is fixed, and then the next day you move on deeper. You are pressing into it. That's how to do it. That's what it means by pressing into it. So each day we're not just praying prayers or pray. Each day there is a movement forward. There is a moving forward. There is a pressing in. So you are not where you were last week. Yeah, brethren, you're not where you were yesterday. In fact, you're not where you are at the morning today. Depending on how meek, how much of meekness and you've been allowing, so that you can allow the strength and the courage to take you deeper. Just that little bit deeper. Now, it may not appear as if you can see a difference, but you know, as you're traveling on the expressway, you know, you can be reading a book, you can be reading your Bible, you can look up and say, you're going from Lagos, from Ibadan to Lagos. Now, when did we get to Sagamu? Do you understand? You are so caught up in what you are reading, you didn't know that you are making such progress. Like, we're making good time. We're making good time, brethren. Amen. We're making good time. Each day, we are moving forward. Each day, we are pressing in. Amen. That's the will of God for us, okay? So, attitude and obedience. Now, why is this important? You know, brethren, it's so important. It's very simple. Because it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The Father wants to give us the kingdom more than we want to receive it. He wants to give us the glory more than... You imagine, brethren, if somebody wants to give you money. Pastor gave us a lovely analogy the other day. And I want to borrow it with all due respect. Somebody's looking for you. He wants to give you $100 million. Just imagine what that can do to solve what it can solve. And what will be left after it has solved what it has to solve. You know? And they went to your house. You are not there. When you go to him and say, somebody was looking for you. He said his name is so and so, and he had $100 million. You didn't see him. I gave him your phone number. You get to your office. He said, somebody just left here and they're looking for you. You get to church. Somebody came and looked for you. This person that is looking for me. You know, there's a sense of urgency that I'm not to work on. Should I leave church to go and look for this person? Amen. You know, but you can imagine that you're there's an urgency. Why? Because the person is urgently looking for you. So the least you can do is to respond with the same urgency. You leave your phone number. Please, when next he calls, please, this is my number. This is my GSM. This is my WhatsApp. You give them every detail. There must be no mistake. 100 million. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Good, every day in the morning, he's looking for you. Good morning, Jesus. He's looking for you in prayer, looking for you in the word, looking for you in obedience, looking for you in confession. Look, every time he's there. You're not just speaking words into the air. He's right there. See the invisible. You do it with him, out of fellowship with him. So he's real. To that degree, you know, I know it's happened to me sometimes. God just tell you something that is unrelated to the prayer you are praying. And it's very important. It's not you're not parroting something. He's waiting for you. He wants to give us the kingdom. So brethren, the same way he wants to give us the kingdom, he has called us to the obtaining of the glory. He wants to give us the glory as well. So he's not holding anything back. So we must seek it urgently. Respond with the same urgency. Look for him with the same urgency in the place of fellowship and prayer. Number two, we must renew our minds, because this is where we move forward or where we go back. This is the key. It's about the mind. Look at Romans chapter 12. The pastor preached it, and I'm just emphasizing it. Okay. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Give it to me in the Amplified. Let's read it together, brethren. Amplified. Thank you. I appeal to you, therefore... I can only four, two or three pastors in front. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you. See the earnestness God is using to talk to us. Begging us. In view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well pleased to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Bottom line, you can do all these things by the mercy of God.
Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, their values, their priorities, their use of time, the things that are important to them. It says, don't be conformed. Fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. By its what? New ideals and its new attitude. Let's say it together. Ideals, attitude. Ideals, attitudes. So it's talking about two things. It's talking about ideals, the goal, what you have set for yourself. You must keep changing the goal. The more God gives you more wisdom and revelation, the goal changes. The goal keeps changing. There is an ultimate goal, but you know, on the way to the ultimate goal, you know, when you're going to Lagos, your goal is initially Sagam. Your goal is Sagam. Then you get to Moe. Then you get to Mountain of Fire. Then you get to Berga. Then you are going to Lagos, but your goal keeps, even though your goal is still final set, but there, you know, there is a goal. And then, there is the goal, and there is the goal where you are currently. And you must keep changing your goal. To move from Sagam to Moe, when you get to Sagam, you must tell yourself, Moe is the next place. Then you go to Moe. Then when you know, just like Elijah and Elisha, he left from Gilgal. Then Bethel was the next place. Then after Bethel, Jericho was the next place. Then Jordan was the next. Then they crossed Jordan before they even got beyond Jordan. So there are new ideals, and each time your attitude morphs, your attitude becomes more urgent. No, more focused, more determined. Okay? All right. Now, let's finish this. So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Not in the sight of men. In His sight. When you get one in His sight, then He will make your purpose appear unto men. So now, you know, otherwise sometimes we can get. So what am I saying, brethren? No, the key is this. Our mind is important. We must renew our mind. You know, and that's important because it's in the mind that you go back or go forward. You can say, you can decide and say, I'm going forward, and you start going forward. But if you don't watch what's going on in your mind, you can start retrogressing. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 to 15. It's very important. Mindful. Thank you, Pastor Dewey. All right. It says, these all died in faith, not receiving the promises, but having seen them, what? Afar off. So there's a goal. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. So they were on the way to destiny. Okay? They were on the way to destiny. And a person can be on the path of destiny. Look at next verse. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Next verse. And truly, if they had been what? Mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but they chose not to be mindful. What is your mind full of? What is my mind full of? Do we pray only in the is it only in the times of prayer that our mind is on God? How frequently during the day is our mind on God? I'm speaking to you as I'm speaking to myself. As I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. Do you understand? How frequently? The time has come, brethren, with what Pastor taught us on Sunday. We must deliberately now occupy our mind. Win your mind back from major enemies. That is the things that are plaguing our minds. You know what I mean? Thoughts that just come in. You know, selfishness, envy, those things that come in, pride. I know, and you don't see. Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence.
So we guard it. When you have dealt with those ones and you are dealing with them and you're staying on top, then you start even just meditating. Just in your own, on your own, in your spare time. Just think about the glory. Meditate. Fill your mind with it. Meditate upon His purpose. So how is it going to happen? You know, many of pastor's messages come out of those meditations. You see, I was thinking the other day, you know, you must be of the order of, He tells you how many people are born again. How many people pray in tongues? You know, how many people, of those that are praying in tongues, how many, so, and He gives an estimate. So, I you know, in all those, is reasoning in line with the Word of God. And I just think, just thinking on God like that. But you're going to get there in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, some of the things that is your burger on your way to Lagos. Eh? You have to get there. When you start thinking about such things, and not only about what will I eat, only when you're out of church, is next thing is all the things I want. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're talking about something you do strategically now. I want to win my mind back. Because when you fill your mind with some things, the going back and coming forward stops. The seesaw stops because the mind is where it's at. That's where the battle is. Amen. So we must learn to meditate on the invisible. Not just seeing it, but meditating on it. Amen. Dwelling on His purpose. Dwelling on His glory. Dwelling on His plan. So that in our minds we now become perfectly united in the same mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Now the Corinthians didn't have this. But they should have, as what Paul was telling them. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. So we are, when you say judgment means that if you judge it, when I come and judge it after you, I judge it the same way. I mean, that's talking about the same judgment. Amen. We may use different words to describe it. I mean, Pastor and Mommy demonstrate it all the time. If you talk to Mommy, and now we're going to talk to Pastor. Pastor will tell you what Mommy already said. Mommy already told us that. Okay, fine. Do you understand? Or the other way around. Do you understand what I mean? So, it's the same judgment. It's a place in the Spirit that you deliberately position yourself and put yourself there by watching over your heart. And watching over your mind. Amen. It's not far-fetched, brethren. It's near. It's something we can press into now. That's why God is showing us. We can press into the same mind. Because once we align and we are the same, the glory will be downloaded. The glory, the essence, in John chapter 17, verse 20, is the unity is the precursor for the glory. So that glory is going to come. Let's look at the John chapter 17, verse 20. So begin to round up. All right, give me verse 21. Right. That they all may be what? One. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So there'll be unity. That makes the world believe. Next verse. And the glory. Let's say it together. One more time. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. So there is one level of unity. There's another level of unity that the glory itself will bring. So there are levels of unity. There's unity of the spirit, unity of mind, and then unity of knowledge, which comes to the entire body. Amen. All right, so brethren, this is just to encourage us, you know, so that we can see that we are already on the path. Amen. But we need to now be strategic in the way we live our lives. Live our lives in a strategic way. Amen. By the grace of God. How do we do this? Very simple. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. How do we do this? Let's read it together, brethren. Remember. How do you remember things? In your mind. We remember things in our mind.
So he's talking about a mind thing. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Brethren, we're supposed to closely look at our fathers, our spiritual fathers, and follow them considering the end of their conversation. All right? So, you think of the end. The man is good. Now, three things I want to bring up. When you consider. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate your pastoral leaders who gave you the word of God. Take a good look at the way they live and let their faithfulness instruct you, as well as their truthfulness. There should be a consistency that runs through us all. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 8:18. I and the children the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. But before then, we are united. I and the children. God is turning the house of the children back unto the fathers. The disobedient to the wisdom of the just. So that they can be aligned. There is God is looking for alignment. Alignment. Perfect alignment. Not that they can manage it. Alignment. That means that let's manage it. You know, God forbid, when people have fractures, we've seen it. You know what a fracture is? When the bone breaks or is dislocated. When it always breaks, when there's a tear. It may be total or complete. But let's say that it's complete and you can see that there is the alignment, the bone is not well aligned. Everybody can see that this bone is not well aligned. No, there are some people that do it traditionally. They set bone. In the traditional places, they will set it and the bone will heal. But many times, it's not properly aligned. But if you go to a proper hospital, then they will put in different devices. They have different ways of doing it, either external or internal, to make sure that the alignment is perfect. So when you do an x-ray and the bone is healed, there is no sign that there was ever a fracture in the first place. Whereas, if you take it to those, yes, it will heal, but it's not exactly in the place it should be, and then it can't carry all the weight as it normally would. The same way with when a body is not properly aligned, it can't carry the weight of the glory that God wants to bring on it. So God has to say, not ready yet. Hold it. Get them properly aligned. Be realigned. In the mind. It's in the mind. That's the key. So, I want to ask. You need to see how much of the will of God have they proven. When you are considering their conversation, it's like things you are looking for. How much of the will of God for their lives have they proven? We see an example from Elisha. Look, give it 2 Kings chapter 2. As we begin to round up. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. You see this in verse 2, see it in verse 4, see it in verse 6, see it in verse... So I'm not going to go there, I'm just looking at verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. What did he tell him? He told him that, first of all, I need God. Oh, I told you about your eyes on God. But then your eyes also on oversight. Bible says you consider the end of the conversation. As your soul, the changes I have seen in your soul, the faithfulness, the humility, the truthfulness, I want it. So I'm not going to let you go anywhere. That's what he means. By as thy soul liveth. I have seen some things in your soul. Your soul has prospered. It challenges me. I love that Message Bible rendition of Hebrews 13:7. Because it captures it. It captures it. There should be a common thread that runs through all. A thread of integrity. A thread of humility. A thread of sacrifice. Amen. Without making noise.
sacrifice without making noise. You know, a thread of excellence. Yes, giving with simplicity, with excellence. The thread, brethren, must run through all. We're not managing anything. God is not managing. Tell your neighbor, God is not managing. If we wanted to manage, he would have released the God, and we won't get the fullness. But God doesn't want us. He wants perfect. So we have to be perfectly aligned. Amen. After his kind. Amen, sir. All right. So look at verse 10. And you see, when Elisha followed him from Gilgal to Bethel, he was to that degree aligned. It wasn't perfect, but the alignment was improving. From Bethel to Jericho, the alignment improved again. So it was really coming in close now. Do you understand what I mean? No, it's become more aligned. Until they got to Jordan, the place of lean, the place of death. That we have to follow them. This habitual intercession, even if it's not for the same number of hours, the practice of the same, praying always with all prayer and supplication on a consistent basis. It must be the same. It must run through. The technique must be the same. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. It must be the same. The watching and praying must be the same. The love and the obedience must be the same. God is going to help us. But you know, we have to keep moving. Pressing forward. That's the message. Pressing forward. Elisha had to press forward. He didn't think that. And God, each time, you can imagine, Elisha didn't make it easy. Each time he said, tarry here. So if you are tired, you have a very bad organic intro. He said, I should tarry here. So, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm obeying instructions. Maybe they said we should not be disobedient. But it's not as unto man, it's as unto God. God and man. God and man. You must have your eyes on both. So it's not so much what man said, it's what is God saying from what man said. Then I do that in all good conscience. If I miss it, I apologize and I'm sorry. God teach you. But don't try and get it. Sometimes I'm guilty too. We try and do rule to the answer. You know, how do you explain that? So there are some things that just capture it in native parlance. How do you explain that? You get the answer without the steps. You're looking for the answer and you don't want to walk the steps. But then we must get the steps and the answer. If you get the steps, you get the answer. That's what God is saying. Verse 9, as we begin to round up. Right. Okay, verse 9. When they crossed Jordan, God said the alignment is complete. Told Elijah, said the alignment is complete. Oh yeah, talk to him. It was then that God asked him. He says, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha didn't ask for all the cows that he had given up at the beginning of his ministry. You know, he could have asked for that. We just assume that he would naturally ask. No. The alignment was complete. He wanted to finish what God has started through Elijah. Say, I need the double portion of this thing that you have. That is the proof that the alignment is complete. The desires are the same. The same thing with Solomon. You see a bit why God chose Solomon of all David's children to be king. Because when God asked him, what do you want? He said, my daddy David has been a good king. Everything was about doing what my daddy started, finish what my daddy started, and doing it very well. I don't have wisdom to rule over like my daddy. No, can you give me that? God said, this boy, you are aligned. Abraham and Isaac. Daddy, where is the ram? I can see the fire. I can see the stick. God will provide himself. This thing that you're always saying, God. Anytime you say God, something always happens. I submit. I agree. Daddy, you are tying my hand. Daddy, you are tying my leg. The two legs.
as far as concerned, both was aligned. Daddy is going to come through. And Daddy said God is going to come through. So you know what? God, Daddy, and Isaac were on the same line. Alignment. See, this is the key. We must be aligned. And your alignment, you're not the one to say when the alignment is complete. It's God that will say when the alignment is complete. So, and then you tell your father that the alignment is complete. So you must judge. So what is your job? We keep pressing in. We keep pressing forward. Never, when the thing comes to your mind and says, ah, Odeti arrived. Ah, you've tried. See all the people that started with you. Ah, they are nowhere. In fact, they can't see your tail light. Rest a bit now. You know that young prophet, 1 Kings 13. When they told him, God told him that you should not stay in this place. Don't eat. Don't go anywhere. You know what happened? When they were looking for him, when the old prophet said, where is he? But they met him under a tree. He was sitting down in the seat of the scornful. Oti arrived. He had torn somebody's hand with that. He had turned it back again. He had spoken to the altar. The altar had been rent. He had done things. But he hadn't finished his course. He was supposed to leave that place. So you know what? In so doing, he killed himself. He disconnected from God. He was not aligned. So something that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. We will press forward. We will not be like him. His story is written as an example that when you are doing things for God, you need to stay cool. Stay humble. Because the higher you go, the more you have to keep being aligned. But it's not hard. Just do the things that brought you there. And any other instruction that God is giving you. Amen. Don't forget the things that brought you to where God put you. Amen. Don't forget them. Otherwise, then we will not in Jesus' name. So, how much of the will of God have they proven? So you have to see it. How much of the will of God? And it's progressive. Look at the will of God, the fruitfulness, the character, you know, the revelation of the word of God that they bring forth. Amen. Deep revelation. I see something and I wonder, ha, shall in the Bible here? Sir, I have to stand up. You know, because it's incredible. It's incredible some of the things that we hear every day. But it's the depth of the humility. He's pressing forward. Mom is pressing forward. We too should press forward. Press forward. That is the humility that brought that. I know you want to share like that. But the key really is to get the humility. The key is that one is attractive, but the humility may not be attractive. But that's where it's at. It's the meekness and the loneliness that brings the river. He's just walking in the river and he's giving you goodies from the river. You too can allow the river to flow in and through. Amen. In stages. So, how much of the will of God have they proven? Number two, their destination in God. These are things that we consider. The throne room. The throne room in friendship. Sitting on his throne. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I think it's where it says, he that overcometh shall I grant to sit with me in my throne. I think it's verse 20 something. Somewhere there. Revelation chapter 3. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcame and am set down in my Father's throne. This for overcomers. People that press into the end. They are not stopping by the side. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. That's their end. In friendship, in fellowship with God. So we consider it. And consider all the steps it takes to get there. Amen. And then, what am I contributing to ensure that they arrive at this goal? Because brethren, if they don't arrive at that goal, you will not arrive at the goal. It's the person that is at the goal. Elijah had to be there to be able to call and tell Elisha, oh yeah, come, follow me. He had to have the mantle to pass. So anything that pours water on the hand of Elijah, praying for them and their children and their seed, it's to pray for them that as they have sown and as they have sought and they have given up themselves, that in their season of reward, the days will not be prolonged. the promises of God to them will not be prolonged. They will now be manifest. Now, you seek their good because they deserve it in God. Now, you know, in God, they fulfill the scripture. Amen. So really, you know, if they delight themselves in Him, then He should give them desires of their heart. So you pray. That's how it is, with that kind of heart that you pray. You pray, you obey, you do what they will do, so they can depend on you. Paul wrote of Timothy, "I have no son that is like-minded." Like-minded. John Mark, at a time, John Mark was not profitable. So the Bible says Paul was not minded. Paul was minded that he should not come with them. Minded. Uses the term minded. He was minded that he should not come with them. But later, he told Philemon, "Say, I'm receiving him. Because, you know, it's profitable to me in the ministry." There was an alignment between John Mark and Paul that made Paul be able to tell Philemon, "Look, take him back. He can't do that thing again. He can't. He's outgrown that." Amen. So it's about, you know, it's about contributing. You know, Epaphras. You know, laboring fervently in prayer. You stand with them shoulder to shoulder. You stand for them. You know, you speak for them. You know, you support them financially to make the yoke easy. I mean, the way God has conditioned them, their type is rare in the body of Christ. They're not so much looking for, but at the same time, it was not whether they're looking or not. It's our job to give. That's how to communicate. It's not, "Sir, it's not WhatsApp. God bless you, sir. You are a blessing to me." Is it like that? It's not like that. It means to give. Anything that will take their mind from the word and from the purpose of God, you don't want it. So they can quickly inherit. And when they inherit, you are right there. Because of the labor and the contribution that you have made. God is seeing every contribution we are making. Every contribution I'm making. The one they know, the one they don't know, God sees. It's unto the Lord. And the Lord that sees in secret will reward you openly in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brethren, this is what it is. We lay down our lives by following after the example. Meditate on the word of God, particularly meditating on the word of God through them, obeying their instructions, praying for them and their seed, copying their example, supporting them financially, so we can inherit with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk to God. Bow our heads as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is encouraging us. To keep our minds. That's the new frontier now. It's not new, it's always been. But now, it's particularly important. It's a sense of urgency. The realm of the Spirit. Don't give sleep to your eyes and your mind. Let's repent of the thorn of the things that God has been speaking to you about and rededicate yourself. Set your will and ask the Holy Spirit for help. Hold on to that mercy that is flowing from the river of God, and acknowledge it ever so frequently. Acknowledge and receive it. Receive it and use it. Lord, have mercy on me. I confess their sins. Ask life for them. Forgive. Forgive. Deliberately walk. If you know, that is something that I have personally found is important for me. Forgive. The moment the thought comes, Lord, have mercy on me. I forgive. I ask life. Don't let it pile up. So it doesn't disconnect you from the flow of that river. Let's take the song.
Lord, I open up my heart, ready for your holy fire. I now let you into my heart and into my soul. Lord, I pledge you. Loving you is my desire, and I will not be holding back at all, responding to your call. Oh Lord, I open up my heart.
Sing it as a prayer.
Ready for your holy fire.
Holy fire.
I now let you into my heart and into my soul.
My Lord, I'm
pledging my life.
Loving you.
Loving you is my desire.
My desire.
I will not be holding back at all, responding to your call.
My Lord, I'm up our hand unto the Lord, our eyes on the Lord, and also on the example of our fathers. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, showing me that as the kingdom is being preached day by day, it is my desire, it is my responsibility to press in so that more of your kingdom, more of your power, and ultimately, your glory will be manifest in and through me. Father, I ask for mercy. Mercy to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, to renew my mind, being transformed by the same renewing, so that I will align my heart and my life more perfectly with the example of my fathers. Help me to consider the end of their conversation, where they have proven your will concerning the destination you are taking them to, and how I can contribute more effectively to ensuring that they arrive at your expected end. Their joy is my joy. Their increase is my increase. Their accomplishment is my accomplishment. Help me, Father, to be fully aligned with my Father's, so the glory can be downloaded upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Japre kango kaya rabababo mateka sotia rabakutanta rekoseso bengari oambale rabakata kusa jeke koko kano papapapute rabapapukete basofu kinevanta tombia kamboki amboko tomosege jeke debebede dobo rabapapapu kote beberion renoa rabapako sato ba iwa dua tatange wabo apaka bao bao rabakata bao 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 anyawo baba Babare, Mapacata, Roba Cotomosose Canto Toto, Mosse Salvida, Roba Biaro, Reba Catato, Reba Babaya, Roba Cota, Tawa, Baba Baya, Roba Ba, Robo, Baye, Rado, Bide, Rabai, Benelea, Roba Catoma, Ronde Piperiana. In Jesus' name, amen.